Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kelfred C. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day, so please take advantage of it. Get back to taking advantage of it, of course, after you listen to me. Now, I want to talk to you today about jihad and children and why jihad is bad for your children. I want to give you a few examples of conversions. A lot of kids are converting to Islam. I don't understand why. The parents do not understand why. But there are a lot of warning signs out there that parents should be aware of. Now, many tend to be loners and misfits, these kids. They're socially awkward. They tend to be easy targets for Islam. And they end up being nothing more than useful idiots for the jihad. Now, remember, I don't know if you remember on my evening show I used to do, I was talking about three London, Ontario teens. Now, there are two in particular. Aaron Yoon, he was a Catholic. Christos Katsourabas, he was an Orthodox Greek. They were both converted by Ali Medledge. Now, these two young lads, they fit the profile of misfit. They were awkward, they were loners, they had few friends, they kept to themselves, and they were easy targets. And like I say, Ali Medledge moved right in. Next thing you know, off they go to Algeria, and they're engaged in the gas plant bombings. What about this person last week who murdered that soldier? That poor soldier drummer, Lee Rigby. Michael Adebolajo, another Catholic who converted. It seems the converts are worse than the actual Muslims themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, you have to pay attention to what your kids are doing. You know, you have to sit them down and talk to them. You have to know about what they're engaging in. You have to look for changes in their moods and their behavior. And I don't care if people think that I am totally slamming Islam because, well, I am. I think Islam is one of the most dangerous entities we are facing today. And if we can save our children from this cult, then my work is done here. Sit your kids down and talk to them about Islam. When they come home from school, maybe they're taking a course in world religions, and they start talking about the virtues of Islam, sit them down and really talk to them. Tell them to imagine that every day of their lives would begin with a morning call to prayer from minarets around the city or village in which they may end up moving to, because a lot of them do go on overseas, how shall I put it, visits. Some never come back. Imagine that they are required to pray five times a day, throughout the day, every day. Imagine that the law of the land is based on Sharia, and that is taken from the Quran. Imagine that they are living in a nation where stoning women, beheading criminals, and other draconian Asian punishments are deemed acceptable. Imagine being a Muslim and knowing that conversion from Islam is punishable by death if they decide maybe after, this is ain't for me after all. They are now targeted with a fatwa. Imagine saying or doing something that might be interpreted as disrespectful towards Muhammad, the false prophet of Islam. That can get you whipped or killed. Now imagine a religion that has no tolerance for any other religion, even those that existed for 2,000 or 3,000 years prior to Islam. Tell them to imagine a religion that sanctions suicide if it is done for the purpose of killing others, in particular the Jews and the Christians, as infidels, as kafirs, and that includes the parents. Tell them to imagine a religion that has routinely taken over the temples and churches of other faiths and they build mosques in their place, or a religion that builds its mosque upon the most holy sites of other religions. Imagine a culture that reduces women to chattel owned by their fathers and their husbands. Tell them to imagine a culture that permits the killing of women for so-called dishonoring the family, even when there's no proof. Imagine a religion in which close associates of Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zahari, said, "We have not reached parity with them. We have the right to kill 4 million Americans, 2 million of them children, and to exile as many and wound and cripple hundreds of thousands. Furthermore, it is our right to fight them with chemical and biological weapons so as to afflict them with fatal maladies that have afflicted the Muslims because of the American chemical and biological weapons." And I am using America, of course, as a template that can apply to Canada, Australia, the UK, you name it. Tell them to imagine a religion that, on Iranian television, on June 25th, 2004, said, "May Allah, by virtue of the hidden iman, remove the evil America and the West, as well as Israel, from humanity." There was a news report that said Al-Qaeda is on the verge of producing radioactive weapons after sourcing nuclear material and recruiting rogue scientists to build dirty bombs. Tell your children, if they want to be useful idiots for the Islamists and work in these bomb factories. Jed Babin wrote in his book, In the Words of Our Enemies, "Like the Nazis, the radical Islamists play on the same sense of persecution and cultural inferiority that many people in underdeveloped nations possess because they are oppressed, and so they think. And like the Nazis, the Islamists have convinced their followers that the problems of their world are the fault of others. The Islamists blame every ill of their world on the West, in particular the United States, and they blame the Jews, of course, and Israel. The Middle East and Northern African nations in which Islam dominates are in a state of turmoil, seeking to overthrow the despots that have ruled for decades. No matter who is selected to replace them, Islam remains the guiding principle in the lives of their people. Tell your children that Islam is on a quest. They are intent to overtake, and your child may be the foot soldier. Imagine a religion that divides the world into Dar al-Islam, the land of Islam, and Dal al-Harb, the land of war. They cannot be accommodated. They negotiate only with the end goal of achieving domination. They cannot be deterred except through the use of force. The translation of the word Islam is submission. Explain that one to your child. We share the planet with 1.6 Muslims, and we either convert them or we defeat them. I have no faith in the reformation of Islam, is not within our lifetime anyway. talk to your child about Islam. Tell them what to expect if they decide to convert. I don't know what people like Aaron Yoon and Christos Katsourabas expected when they converted. Aaron Yoon is in exile. Christos Sereboris is dead. Talk to your kids. Listen to this mother. Her son converted to Islam. Her life is a living hell.
Really radical.
A mother who no longer recognizes her own son. For her safety, we've agreed to conceal her identity, but she wants parents everywhere to listen to her message.
Be aware of what your children are going. Get to know who is involved with.
After he converted to Islam, she says her son was recruited online by a radical Islamist group, while she watched helplessly as her son became abusive.
Burn in hell. That's what he wished us, both my husband and I, if we didn't start to practice.
Her son has since left Canada for Syria. She says she learned from CSIS, Canada's spy agency, they've been keeping tabs on her son. American authorities put his name on a no-fly list maintained by the U.S. government's terrorist screening center. According to reports from CSIS, there are up to 60 cases of Canadians who have tried or have left Canada to join Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations abroad. Last July, a Canadian with dual citizenship was linked to a deadly bus bombing in Bulgaria. And there are claims two Canadians were involved in a hostage-taking in January in Algeria.
Western recruits are very highly valued in most conflict zones.
This counterterrorism expert says many are young and recruited in part through social media.
Some of the videos I've seen are very hip. They're very cool. They have great driving urban music. They have scenes of violence. They seem to infer or infuse a sense of purpose, that there is a mission to be had.
In his Montreal mosque, Imam Omar Kone says he's seen more and more young men drawn in by this kind of recruitment.
Even sometimes wealthy family, educated children start listening to this discourse and are enrolling themselves to go to fight in somewhere else in the world.
Once they're exposed to conflict abroad, the biggest fear for intelligence authorities and this mother is what happens when they return and what they might do next.
He's convinced that the jihad is part of the religion. In order to defend your faith, you have to kill. Well, you'll heal. That's all.
Dan Halton, CBC News, Montreal.
So that is a mother that you want to listen to. Like I say, her life is a living hell. She's lost her son. She may never get her son back. Islam stole her child. Now, I said at the beginning that I don't care if people think that I'm slamming Islam, because I am. I despise Islam. It is not a religion in my eyes. It is a cult. It is a cult of death. And it is true that they live to die. They hate life. There are a lot of young people who have converted out there throughout the planet. One such example is Nick Riley. He was described as overweight and a misfit. He found Islam and he loved the ideology of hate, violence, murder, and suicide bombings. He loved the idea of the great reward of sex with 72 virgins with swelling breasts for killing Kafir, as promised by Allah. We have Fritz Galowitz and Daniel Schneider. These two were also misfits. They're attracted to Islam for its very violent God and prophet and guarantees of joys of paradise. They formed an Islamic cell with two other misfit converts and planned a 9/11-like attack to kill hundreds. They were caught before they were able to. There is Meryl. She's another one from Belgium who was described as a misfit. who was attracted to Islam for its violence and rewards for suicide bombings. She married a suicide aspirant Moroccan man and both died for Allah. Morel was born in Belgium to white middle-class Christian parents. She blew herself to pieces in a suicide bombing near Baghdad. Islam is attracted to violence. Islam is attracted to mayhem. Islam is attracting those who are attracted to the violence and the mayhem because it is a so-called religion of killing and death. Islam celebrates only death. Everyone loves music, singing and dancing, socializing and watching TV and movies. Islam strictly prohibits all these fun activities and insists on salat or prayer on the mat and reciting Quran instead. While other religions celebrate colorful festivities in which men and women socialize, sing, drink, and dance, Islamic holidays are about killing and commemorating death and massacre. The three biggest holidays in Islam is Eid al-Adha. That is Islam's most colorful holiday, somewhat comparable to Hindu festivals of color called Holi, but the difference is that the color here is only red. Every Muslim is required to cut throat of a goat, cow, or camel. While men cut the throats of these animals, the women and children celebrate the sight of gushing blood from the dying animal by the shells of Allahu Akbar. On this holiday, you see blood, hides and insides of stomachs, everywhere on streets, in backyards, and in front yards, even in bathrooms in some cases. There is the holiday Ashura, which commemorates the bloodshed and killing of Muslims by other Muslims. On this day, Prophet's grandsons and his companions were brutally killed by other Muslims. On this day, Muslims beat themselves bloody with their hands, chains, and knives, and even cut their children with blades to bleed them. The whole town gathers to participate in this bloody spectacle. This year in Karachi, the Ashura procession was bloodier than usual, as a suicide bomber blew himself up and killed dozens of men, women, and children. And then we have Eid al-Fitr. Although there is no bloody activity on this holiday, it does celebrate the killing and beheadings of relatives of old friends and neighbors by Prophet Muhammad and other pious Muslims at Badr. On that day, brother killed by brother, nephew killed by uncle, cousin killed by cousin, son killed by father, and old friends and neighbors killing each other. Later on, the Prophet threw all the dead relatives and friends into a pit and addressed them while jubilant Muslims shouted Allah Akbar. Muslim follows this tradition to this day by killing other Muslims all over the world. The latest fad is to kill other Muslims by suicide bombing and suicide bombing them in particular in a mosque while they are offering congregational salats. That is the religion of peace. This is what you have to warn your children about. This is what you have to keep your children away from, because if they fall into the clutches of Islam, you may never get them back. And if you do get them back, it will most likely be in that of a body bag. Now, I am down to my last 10 minutes. I do want to observe Memorial Day for my American cousins out there. I have something here for you. I want you to listen to this.
Memorial Day is a time to pay tribute to the men and women who pay the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedoms and to protect our homeland. We thank them for giving us hope, and we want to honor those individuals who served our nation this day. My father-in-law fought in World War II. I have an uncle that served active Navy for over 28 years, and we have a nephew that serves today. We thank them and the men and women like them that are serving all across the globe to fight for freedoms. And if you really want to know what our national debt looks like, I invite you to visit one of our national cemeteries. We owe a debt to these individuals and to their families who paid the ultimate sacrifice for love of God and love of country, and that debt can never be repaid. That's what Memorial Day means to me. Celebrate this day and celebrate those lives and may many more generations step forward to wear our uniform and to protect our freedoms.
And I thought that was really, really nice. Today is Memorial Day. It is. Please enjoy this day. Please understand what Memorial Day means. And please try to understand the history of Memorial Day. Memorial Day is one of the oldest holidays, or as I prefer to call it, observances, in the United States. It's a federal holiday. Of course, it occurs every year on the final Monday of May. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It was formerly known as Decoration Day, and it originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. By the 20th century, Memorial Day had been extended to honor all Americans who have died while in the military service. It typically marks the end of winter, the warm weather. On Memorial Day, many people, they visit cemeteries and memorials, of course, to honor those who have died in military service. Many volunteers place an American flag on each grave in the national cemeteries. Annual decoration days for particular cemeteries are held on a Sunday in late spring or early summer in some rural areas of the American South, notably in the mountains. In cases involving a family graveyard where remote ancestors as well as those who were deceased more recently are buried, this may take on character of an extended family reunion in which people travel hundreds of miles. People gather on the designated day and put flowers on graves and renew contacts with kinfolk and others. There often is a religious service and a dinner on the ground. The traditional term for potluck meal, in which people used to spread the dishes out on sheets or tablecloths on the grass. It is believed that this practice began before the American Civil War and thus may reflect the real origin of the Memorial Day idea. There are a lot of people who will be commemorating the sacrifices the military men and women made on our behalf. There will be barbecues, there will be parades, family gatherings, and fireworks. More somber events will entail visitations to gravesites for those fallen, whether in Arlington or closer to home. Many Americans will be quietly observing. However you honor the dead, though, please be safe and know why you're safe. Have a wonderful observance, and please know the men and women who still serve in uniform, who are out there today fighting for our very rights to exist. We also honor you. We thank you. We are in awe of you. If you see a man or a woman in a military uniform, shake their hand. If you know a veteran, shake his hand or her hand. Take a moment out of the festivities to quietly bow your head and give a prayer of thanks to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy what we are enjoying today. I want to thank you all for joining me. I want you to get back out there. Enjoy that beautiful sunshine. It's going to get very hot this week too, so make sure you have lots of water, okay? I will see you back here on Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Or I might throw up an impromptu show. You never know. But you'll always hear me here, Mondays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And please check out my blog, redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. I try to have a few items of interest posted in there every day. And sometimes I'll throw up something I've written. All by my little self that I've written all by myself. A nice little blog, and there's links to other blogs that you might find of interest. There's links to other articles that you may find of interest, and of course, the blog pertains to, you guessed it, the issues of Islam. But I really do want to thank you all for joining me here today. I want to thank you all who listen in archive. I want to thank you all who listen on other devices. And I especially want to thank you all for taking your time to listen to me. Just me, the little Red Fox blogger, a.k.a. Cal Fritzy. I'm going to close out with a song for my American cousins as they commemorate Memorial Day. Goodbye, everybody. See you on Thursday.
You gotta leave me now. You gotta go alone. You gotta chase a dream, one that's all your own, before it slips away. When you're flying high, take my heart along. I'll be the harmony to every lonely song that you learn to play. When you're soaring through the air, I'll be your solid ground. Take every chance you dare, I'll still be there when you come back down. When you come back down. Turn. My greatest fear will be that you will crash and burn, and I won't feel your fire. I'll be the other hand that always holds the line, connecting in between your sweetheart and mine. I'm strung out on that wire. I'll be on the other end to hear you when you call. Angel, you were born to fly, and if you get too high, I'll catch you when you fall. Catch you when you fall. Come back.